Master, we would see a sign from thee. So the Lord Jesus was addressed by the scribes and the Pharisees here in Matthew 12 and the verse 38. That word sign in other places is translated miracle. They were looking for a sign, miracle, from the Lord Jesus to prove that he was the promised Messiah, that he was the promised Savior. And yet already the Lord Jesus had performed enough sign miracles to prove that he was who he claimed to be, the promised Messiah, the promised Savior. If you look back up this chapter 12 of Matthew to the verse 22, you will read of how there was brought unto the Lord Jesus a man possessed with a devil, a man who was blind, a man who was dumb. And the Lord Jesus healed him, causing this blind man to see, this man who was dumb now to speak. And this was a sign miracle that proved that the Lord Jesus was the promised Savior. If we go back into the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 11, in the verses 2 to 5, we read about John the Baptist. He was in prison. And in the prison he heard about the works of Christ. And for a little time he began to doubt whether Christ was really the promised Messiah or not, even though he had prepared the way for him. And he sent two of his disciples with the question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And the answer of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11, verses 4 and 5 was this, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. In other words, the Lord Jesus was saying, all of these things that I have done prove that I am the one that was to come. I am the promised Savior, the promised Messiah. And so the Lord Jesus, he had performed already these same miracles that proved that he was the promised Savior. And yet here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, the scribes and the Pharisees are coming asking for another sign, another miracle. Indeed, back up in the verse 23, after the Lord Jesus had performed the miracle of healing the man who was blind and dumb, and the people around were amazed, the Pharisees, in verse 24, had sought to discredit the Lord Jesus and what he had done. And they began to say, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In other words, they were falsely accusing the Lord Jesus of casting out devils by the power of the devil. The Lord Jesus, of course, refuted such a blasphemous suggestion. In verse 28 of Matthew 12, he declared that he was casting out devils by the Spirit of God. And he told the Pharisees in verse 31 in very solemn terms that the fact they were attributing what Christ had done by the power of the Spirit, the fact they were attributing this to the work of the devil was a blasphemy that could not be forgiven. Verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. You see, the unbelieving Jews were always looking for another sign, another miracle. And yet, here in Matthew 12, in verse 39, when they came again, looking for another sign, miracle, the Lord Jesus told them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas.
Keeping looking for more signs and miracles was but an excuse for their unbelief.
And the Lord Jesus was saying, there'll be no more signs, but the sign of the prophet Jonas.
And then he went on to speak of the fact that just as Jonas had been 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so he, the Son of Man, was going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
He was speaking about his coming crucifixion, his coming death, his coming burial,
and of course his resurrection, which was going to be the greatest miracle to prove that he was who he claimed to be,
the promised Saviour,
the one who could come and lay down his life but also take it up again.
When Paul was writing to the Romans,
Romans 1 verses 3 and 4, he revealed that the Lord Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It was not enough that he laid down his life for the sins of his people. He had to rise again if salvation was to be provided for sinners. And so the Lord Jesus says to these unbelieving Pharisees, there would be no more signs but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he went on in verse 41 to rebuke those unbelieving Pharisees by saying that the men of Nineveh would rise in the judgment with that particular generation, and they would condemn the unbelievers of that generation because those men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, and the Lord Jesus, being there among this particular generation that is mentioned, he was greater than the prophet Jonah. And you see, tonight, if you're not saved, and if you live and die unsaved, even if you're still alive when the Lord Jesus returns and you stand before him on the judgment day unsaved, you will be condemned forever. And tonight, in light of that, I want us to think upon what the Lord Jesus was saying here. When he spoke about Jonah, when he spoke about the sign of the prophet Jonah, and when he spoke about how the men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment and condemn the people of this particular generation that the Lord mentioned, because he was greater than Jonah. And we want to think for a few moments about how the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah. The message that that declares to us tonight. And I want us first of all to consider, of course, that the Lord Jesus, he is here by his spiritual presence tonight. And he is greater than Jonah, first of all, in his obedience to God. You think back to the book of Jonah. We read part of that little book tonight in the chapter 3. But I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the contents of that little book, even the children. And you will remember that when we read about Jonah, of course, that he was one of God's prophets. One of the many prophets that we read about in the Old Testament scriptures. And in the opening verses of the little book of Jonah, we read of how the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And the word instructed him to go to that city called Nineveh. A city, the people who dwelt there, their wickedness had come up before God, and he was to go with a message from God to that people, rebuking their sin, telling them of the judgment they could expect if they continued in their sin. He was sent in God's name to bring God's message. And of course, Jonah, sadly, became a disobedient prophet at that point in his life because he disobeyed at first the command of God to him to go with the message from God to that city, and he went in a different direction. He ran away from the call of God. He was a disobedient prophet. Later, of course, he obeyed.
But this is one of the ways in which we see that the Lord Jesus is greater than the prophet Jonah. Because though Jonah was an imperfect prophet, he had been faithful in the past. He became disobedient. He would be faithful in the future. He is focused in upon in the book because of his disobedience. The Lord Jesus is greater. The Lord Jesus, of course, is the greatest of all the prophets. We read in Acts 10 and the verse 43 concerning the Lord Jesus that to him give all the prophets witness. Even Moses, who was such a great prophet, he pointed to the greatest prophet of all who would come. The Lord Jesus, the one who comes and reveals to us the will of God for our salvation. And he, the Lord Jesus, he perfectly obeyed his heavenly Father when he came into this world as the prophet. Of course, as the priest and the king as well. He perfectly obeyed his Father right through his ministry. The miracles he performed, the life that he lived, the preaching he involved in, right to his very suffering, and death, and resurrection. Romans chapter 5 emphasizes how important was the obedience of the Lord Jesus as the representative of sinners when he came as the great substitute and sacrifice. Because Romans 5 and the verse 19 tells us, contrasting Adam and the Lord Jesus, for as by one man's disobedience, that's of course Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's the Lord Jesus, shall many be made righteous. The Lord Jesus, he's greater than Jonas. Jonas, who was a disobedient prophet, the Lord Jesus, who came as the perfect prophet. And the one who by his obedience provided a perfect righteousness for all who will turn from sin and trust him. And Philippians 2 and verse 8 reminds us that he became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. You read through, in particular, John's Gospel. And you will find again and again the Lord Jesus saying that what he spoke was what the Father commanded him to speak. What he did was what the Father commanded him to do. In the very Garden of Gethsemane, he could pray, not my will, but thine be done. And so the Lord Jesus is greater than Jonah, as he said here in Matthew chapter 12 and the verse 41. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. He was greater in his obedience to God. By nature, as sinners, we are disobedient to God. We are disobedient to God because we are sinners by nature. And yet God, through his Son in the Scriptures, calls us to obey. Not that we can be saved by our works or our attempts at obeying God's law, but we are called to obey the call to repent of sin and to come to Christ for salvation. Again in Romans chapter 16, in the verse 26, we read of this obedience. Romans 16, in the verse 26, but now is made manifest. And as the gospel, the preaching of Christ, it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. God commands all men everywhere to repent. He expects us as sinners to obey that command. And here it talks about the obedience of faith. Christ came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. Of course, it's only by God's grace that we can be made obedient. My friend, if you're not saved, God commands you to repent. Christ calls you to repent and believe the gospel. And as long as you go on unsaved, you're disobedient. Even when we are saved, of course, then we're called to walk in obedience to the Lord and His Word. And often we disobey. We need that cleansing and that forgiveness. So the Lord Jesus, He's greater than Jonah in His obedience to God. But then I want you to think in the second place that the Lord Jesus is greater than Jonah in His suffering for sin. Think of Jonah again back there in the little book that is named after him. And you'll remember again, no doubt in the opening chapter, that when he disobeyed God and got on that ship heading in a different direction going to Tarsus, that he had to suffer consequences for his own sin, for his disobedience. You remember he travelled on that ship seeking to get away from the presence of the Lord. And in Jonah 1 and verse 4 we read, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." And what was Jonah experiencing? He was experiencing the consequences of his sin. He was beginning to suffer for his sin as a disobedient child of God in life. He couldn't suffer for eternity in hell for his sin because he was a child of God. But he did suffer chastening in this life because of his sin. And he had to eventually acknowledge in Jonah 1 and verse 10 to the unbelieving sailors that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. And what was happening was due to his disobedience. All that was happening. In verse 12 of chapter 1, he said, "For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." And of course he told them they would have to cast him overboard. And when he was cast overboard, in Jonah 1 verse 17, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And when you read into chapter 2 of Jonah, what a terrible experience that must have been. As he suffered for his sin. He had to say in chapter 2 and verse 3 that God had cast him into the deep. That the floods compassed him about. All God's billows and waves passed over him. In verse 4 of chapter 2 he felt that he was cast out of God's sight. In verse 5 of chapter 2 the depth closed him round about. The weeds were wrapped about his head. What a terrible experience it must have been. In verse 6 of chapter 2, he went down to the bottoms off, or the bottoms off the mountains. He was suffering for his sin. But remember, the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah. He suffered for the sins of others, for he had no sin of his own. Jonah deserved to suffer for his sin. The Lord Jesus is greater. He did not deserve to suffer. He had no sin. And yet he suffered for the sins of others. He suffered for the sins of his people. He suffered as the great substitute, as the great sacrifice for sin. He did endure the wrath of God in his soul as he hung on the cross at Calvary. During those hours of darkness, he was forsaken by his Father. He did suffer unto death. He did die. But he was buried. He did go down to the depths, and he suffered as the just one for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Jonah suffered for his sin of not wanting to take God's message to the enemies of Israel, lest they should repent and be spared. As he acknowledged later in Jonah chapter 4, but Christ is greater. Christ suffered for the sins of those who by nature are his enemies. God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you are not saved tonight, at this moment, out of Christ, Either Christ suffered for your sins on the cross, and you turn from your sin and you trust him for salvation and you're forgiven, you're justified. Or else you go on in your sin and you must suffer for eternity. The just wrath of God for your sins. There's no in between. There's no other option. And Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 1 and the verses 7 to 9. He wrote of that day when Christ returns. And in verse 8 he wrote of Christ coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Those that obey not the gospel, obey not the call to turn from sin and to trust Christ as Savior. Oh, tonight you should come to Christ for salvation. He's greater than all the prophets. He's the only one who can save you from your sin. He's greater than Jonah in his obedience to God, in his suffering for sin. But you know, he's also greater than Jonah in his resurrection. You think of Jonah again. Think even of what the Lord Jesus said about him here in Matthew 12 and the verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What was the Lord Jesus saying? He was drawing a parallel. Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall I, the Son of Man, be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And he was prophesying not only of his coming death and burial, but the fact that he would rise again from the dead. Think of Jonah's experience, 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. And then in Jonah 2 and verse 10, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. But what about the Lord Jesus? Yes, he laid down his life. He died. His body was taken from the cross. It was laid in the tomb. But he arose again. And he had said before all this came to pass in John chapter 10. He had said to the disciples that he had power to lay down his life. No man would take it from him. He had power to lay it down, and he had power to take it up again. And that's exactly what he did. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter in his preaching declared in Acts 2 and verse 24 that it was not possible for the Lord Jesus to be held by death, that God raised him up. Because it's only a risen Savior that can save us from our sins. He was delivered for our offenses, Paul says in Romans, but he was raised again for our justification. So Jonah being vomited out of the whale's belly was but a little picture of the greater happening of the greater prophet, the Lord Jesus, rising from the dead. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 5, there's a day coming when all who are in the graves are going to hear the voice of the Savior, and they're going to come forth. And if you pass from this scene of time before the Lord returns, you will come forth someday. Oh, your soul will go either to heaven or hell, depending whether you're saved or unsaved. But then the resurrection day, body and soul is going to be reunited, are going to come forth. For some it will be the resurrection unto life. For the unsaved it will be the resurrection unto damnation. Which will it be for you? Brings us to one final thought tonight. We're thinking about how the Lord Jesus was greater than the prophet Jonah.
Yes, in his obedience to God, in his suffering for sin, in his resurrection, but also in the message he preached. In Matthew 12 and verse 41, the Lord Jesus says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." And I want you to think about the message which Jonah preached back there in that little book of Jonah. When eventually the Lord gave him another opportunity to go and preach to the people. In Jonah 3 and verse 4, when Jonah entered into the city, what was the message that God had given him to preach? "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." It was a message of judgment. Nothing else to it. A message of judgment. The city's going to be overthrown in 40 days. And yet what happened? The people of Nineveh in chapter 3 and 5, they believed God. They proclaimed a fast. Even the very king arose from his throne, laid aside his robe. He sat in ashes. And he called for the people to repent. And he said in verse 9 of Jonah chapter 3, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not?" And of course we read of how God did not send the judgment, because he had brought the people to repent, to believe the message which Jonah preached, to believe the judgment was coming. Yet they repented. But the Lord Jesus is greater than Jonah and the message he preached. Because yes, the Lord Jesus did proclaim the judgment that's coming upon sin. He said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." But he did say, "Except ye repent." He did call for repentance. He also said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." His message holds out even greater hope than Jonah's did. Jonah was just saying, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh is going to be overthrown." Not even a call to the people to repent, and yet they did repent. They believed the message. But my friend, the Lord Jesus, through the Word, calls you to turn from sin, to come to Him for rest and for salvation. And therefore, if you heed not His message through the Scripture, you will deserve greater judgment. And many will be called upon to rise up on the judgment day. And above all, the Lord Jesus will condemn you forever for your sin. And yet if you will turn from your sin tonight and trust Him, He will save you. He will forgive you. Through Him you'll be brought into the family of God. And I trust tonight, if you've never turned from your sin and trusted Christ, that tonight, even on this final Lord's Day of this year, that you will step out on the promise and you'll get under the blood ere it should be too late for your soul.